No baloney. Baloney. Good afternoon, everybody. Pleasure to be back here at Curtis, and it's always great to be asked back. Put your fans on and put your air conditioners on because we've got a message on hell tonight from the Word of God. We don't hear too many messages on hell, but tonight we're going to really look at what Jesus says about hell. And is hell real? That's got to be a question in everybody's mind. Is hell a reality? Is it an existing place? Or is it something for the terrorists or people that you work with or people in Washington or the bad guy? Is it just them people that go there? Or is it just people like, say, John Lennon, the former Beatle who had a song called Imagine? And some of the lyrics here are, imagine there's no heaven and no hell below us. He expresses what people think on a daily basis. People just think there is no hell. When I was talking to Dan last week, that was an interesting point he made. Most people just don't believe that there's a hell. Or hell is just the preacher that preaches about hell and screams at the top of his lungs, yelling, turn or burn. For others, if hell exists, it's just the hell we create down here on earth. I got some sayings for some of these people that don't think hell exists. How the word hell is used today in our society. And you're probably all familiar with some of these words, but I just thought it was interesting and I jotted them down. What would you call a reckless driver? You would call him hell on wheels. A bad argument with somebody is all hell broke loose. Bad spouse is hell to live with. A great effort, well, he tried like hell. You're real excited about something. You're excited as hell. He moves quickly. That would be a bat out of hell. Or the odds of winning the lottery would be a snowball's chance in hell. A troublemaker is to raise hell. Threaten, hell to pay. Painful, hurts like hell. People voting for a politician in a party that thinks he'll win would say, when hell freezes over. Now, these are just all sayings, but the question is, hell a figure of speech, a joke, a myth? What does God's word say about hell? Where did the word hell come from? If people don't believe it, now where did that word come from? Does anybody can take a guess where that word came from? Huh? Bible. The Bible is where it came from. C.S. Lewis, I like this quote, said in a quote, there is no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than hell. If it lay in my power, I would pay any price to be able to say truthfully, all will be saved. But he can't say that, and I can't say that. What does Jesus say about hell? Jesus spoke, this is the truth, more about hell than any other person, topic, or even heaven in the Bible. Of the 1,870 verses in the New Testament that records the words of Jesus, 13% deal with hell and judgment. Of the 40 parables Jesus told, more than half relate to hell and God's eternal judgment. The strongest biblical word for hell is Gehenna. This is where Jesus refers to what hell is like. It refers to the Valley of Hinnom, H-I-N-N-O-M, south of Jerusalem. In Jesus' day, it was used as a garbage dump, where both trash and bodies executed criminals were burned. It was the most repugnant place in the entire city. Jesus compared this place to hell because of its unspeakable anguish and sorrow that it brings. Emotional anguish. Jesus, speaking of the future of those who rejected God, said, the Son of God would send his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin, lawbreakers, and throw them into a fiery furnace, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Totally separated from God. No light, no peace, no comfort. Jesus says about hell is It's a relational isolation from him. You're isolated. You're all alone. Darkness is a deep darkness. It's a metaphor for loneliness and complete isolation. Mark Twain famously said, "I will take heaven for climate, hell for company." But I'm afraid Twain is greatly disappointed. In hell, you won't find friendship, fellowship, or a relationship. And most importantly, you won't find God. Jesus also said hell is a place of eternal punishment. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Speaking of some of the musicians I was mentioning, I mentioned John Lennon. There's a quote by a couple other people I've got here in front of me. Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead says, "I know I'm going to hell, but at least I'm enjoying the ride." Jerry Garcia is dead, and he's in hell as we speak. I wonder if the ride was worth it in this physical life before he went into eternity. And I found these lyrics, as Dan mentioned, the topic is Highway to Hell. Well, I happened to pull up some lyrics today. If anybody's ever heard of the band AC/DC, and this singer is Bon Scott, who died in 1980, and this was 33 years ago. He writes in the song Highway to Hell these lyrics: "Living easy, living free. Season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I'd rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. Yea, I'm on the highway to hell." I wonder if he I wonder how the party is going as we speak right now for Bon Scott. He's been dead 33 years and he wrote these lyrics. Here's some of the rest of the stuff here. It says, "No stop sign, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel, gonna spin it, nobody's gonna mess me around." Oh boy. This is what's really disturbing, this part of the lyrics. It says, "Hey Satan, I paid my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey mama, look at me, I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm going down, all the way down." How horrifying these lyrics I'm reading. "Paid my dues, look at me, I'm on my way." This is horrifying. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And as we read in Matthew 7:13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there be a few that find it." As an example, picture the 405 in California. Anybody ever been out to California? A few of you have. You know that it's just multi-millions of people running one way on that freeway. Well, we're going to use that example as this passage I just read. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate." Picture that gate that wide and all those people, and broad is the way that going into hell. And there are many who go in by it. This is just an example of one of millions of people that are on that road. I'm sure if Bon Scott could retract everything he's said or done with these disturbing lyrics, I'm sure he would. Hell is the only hopeless place in the universe. In this life, we can say there's always tomorrow or I'll get you tomorrow, or get you next time, or next year. But in hell, there's no next time, there's no tomorrow, there's no next year. Hell is eternal. People need to get right with God today, while it is today. We're not promised tomorrow. God and hell, everybody's heard this statement, a loving God would never send people to hell. I agree. However, three words in this statement make it completely misleading. The first word is loving. God is a loving God, but his love is not just a sentimental emotion, some warm, fuzzy feeling that is tolerant of everything and everybody. God's love is holy love, a righteous love, and a just love. A lot of people think they're going to get to heaven just by being a good person or doing the right thing or going to church religiously. That ain't the way it's going to happen. God wants everyone to choose. You have a choice out there to either love him and be a part of his family or not. He doesn't force anyone to make the decision. You have a choice. You have an eternal soul that only you have a compartment in your heart that only God could fill. He gives you the choice. He gives you freedom, a free will. You have a choice. It's either A or B. I was talking to somebody down there today. Oh, Dan read that passage, clear as day, about Martha and Jesus. And he said, do you believe this? When Jesus asked her if she thought he was the Son of God, she goes, yes, I do believe that. It's either black or white. It's no in between. It's either you believe or you don't believe. Now, it is true that God is a loving and he has no desire for anyone to go to hell. God does not desire that. Speaking through Ezekiel the prophet, this is a wonderful saying. He says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So what does that tell you right there? That the wicked are going to hell. Murderers, rapists, thieves, adulterers, people that haven't accepted Christ. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so that they can live. Making a change. The Apostle Peter says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. What that means is, he means what he says. Judgment is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. See, a lot of people nowadays, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to fellowship with people. They want to get caught up in this world. And Jesus says, have nothing to do with this world. And it just seems to me, every time I look at the news or the newspaper and watch what goes on out there, there's nothing but problems in everybody's life that has anything to do with the world. Not to say Christians aren't going to have any problems, you know. You know, we're going to have problems too. Following the Lord's a tough road, but the rewards are phenomenal when we die and pass away. Our works will follow us out of here, as it says in Revelation. Not by works that we have done, but faith in Christ. Instead, he is patient. God is patient. He's not wanting anybody should perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God hates hell and hates people going there. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. You know that? When the Lord cast Satan out of heaven, he cast a third of the angels out of there. He said that as a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Not for us, but those who reject Jesus Christ and have no belief go there, end up there, especially atheists. That's the ultimate sin against God. That's the most unforgivable sin against God, is unbelief. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What does that mean? Come now, let us reason. Hey, you're a sinner. You're a sinner that needs a Savior. Your sin needs to be paid for. And without my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't trust in Him to pay for your sin, you won't make it. Matthew 5:30 says, "And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off." Those are some powerful words Jesus is talking about here. Wow. Everybody sins out there. Christians, non-Christians. Cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Ooh, 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 ooh. I thought somebody was going to bring me some water up here. Oh, thank you, Dan. If I can just have a moment. Now look at this one. Hell is for the unbeliever and a final divorce from God. The God he wanted no part of on earth. I've met a lot of people out there that are complete atheists. They want nothing to do with God. They don't believe in God. You know, we see in Romans that... We're going to go to that. We're going to go to that. Romans, turn to the first part of Romans if you could, if you got your Bibles with you. This is good. These people, this passage is directed right to them, the atheists and non-believers. I think it's the first part of Romans. Let me see. Romans we're going to go to that passage where, you know, it says inexcusable that all the things, I think it's Romans 2. Somebody can help me out with that and I'll read it.
Two verse one.
Okay, starting verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God has shown each individual human soul who he is. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Every atheist, every unbeliever out there is going to be without excuse when they die. They're going to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. Or I thought I didn't know. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise. Now we see that all the time. They became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in their lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And right here, here we go. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Now, as we see the Academy Awards are going on tonight, and we're going to be worshiping the creature as we see. I'm not trying to say anything bad about that, but in a way, a lot of people take it to another extreme when they worship these movie stars. They should be worshiping God. They should be worshiping the Creator, not the creature. What a powerful verse. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use, what is like, what is against nature, as well as the men. You know, I just can't imagine going through life without a relationship with God. I can't imagine that. And there's millions of people out there that go through life without a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. They've got religion, but they don't got a relationship. They're holding on to that facet, this is my religion. I read about it a lot when I study and say, well, I have my religion. Well, what is your religion? Religion, it's a man-made thing, basically. You know, they don't point out Jesus. They don't point out God. They don't point out the Holy Spirit. As I said, let's consider the atheist. If he hates the concept of spending eternity in his presence, remember, the atheist does not want nothing to do with God. I'll use an example, Madeline Murray O'Hare. A fierce atheist, nothing to do with God. Get the Bibles out of the school. Get the Bibles out of not only the schools, but anywhere where it's preached. She was so against it. C.S. Lewis said it the best. No one ever goes to hell deservingly, and no one ever goes to hell unwillingly. That's a good one. That's a good one. Nobody goes to hell unwillingly. Hell is not a sentence God pushes on sinners who reject Him. It is the end of a path that is freely chosen in this life day by day. Every day without Christ, you choose this path, and He gives you exactly what you want. The world is filled with people who reject God's love every day, who have no desire to worship God's Son. No desire whatsoever, who have no hunger to hear God's word or fellowship with God's people. They would be miserable in heaven where these activities go on for eternity. Wow, isn't that something else? If you're not wanting to read your Bible now, if you're not going to want to sing hymns now, if you're not going to want to come to church now, if you're not going to want to go to your Bible study every week, what makes you think you're going to want to do that when you die and go into heaven? If you don't want to do it now, you're not going to want to do it then. Because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven, is worshiping God for all eternity. And the lost soul that doesn't have God and has the present world are going to take this world with them when they go. When Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world yet loses his own soul? Now, that's real powerful. What is somebody gaining by taking the world? Everybody dies. And it's interesting about what the Lord says about after he said that is with a question mark. What can you give in exchange for your soul? Your soul is the most powerful thing you possess. More than money, cars, homes, anything down here. So what the Lord says is your soul is precious. And He wants you to get right with Him. Excuse me. I've always liked that passage because it always reminds me that my soul is the most important thing that I have going for me, and where it goes when it dies, goes back. So as everybody is here tonight, God bless you. Everybody that was here today, this morning, God bless you. And anybody that comes to the Bible studies, God bless you because you're doing the right thing. You've got a hunger for God's word. You've got a hunger to be around Christians. You're keeping out of the world. And God will bless you for doing it. It's a big difference. Because when you're not here and you don't fellowship and you don't read your Bible every day and you don't stay in God's word, it gets real hard because Satan comes after you real hard. Because he doesn't want you reading the Bible. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with the Creator. What blows my mind about Satan is he actually thinks he's got something over God and thinks he's going to win in the end. But in reality, as God's word reminds us, he has but a short time down here to deceive and lead people away from God. So it is our duty to spread the word of God. Satan will be cast into hell with the false prophet, and the Antichrist. That's where he'll end up in the last day. But as we looked at hell tonight, and we looked at some of the facts on hell, we know to believe that it is a real place where people go, and it's very horrifying, and it's very scary, and it's something where I would not wish on my worst enemy. And remember to pray for your enemies out there. A lot of people have people that hate us because we're Christians, and we have dialogue, and we have tension and strife. You know, Jesus said to pray for these people, and that's what we should do. We don't want them to go to hell. We pray that they get right with the Savior before they die. Because that is the most important thing that they have going. So you pray for these people that persecute you and hate you. You heap fire coals of fire on their head, and the Lord will definitely reward you for that. In closing, I just believe everything the Bible says. I believe what Jesus says about hell. And that's a scary thing when you die and they go before God. Your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life and he tells you to depart from him. That is horrifying. That is a real scary thing. As we have breath in our lungs right now as we're walking, we've got no fear because we're not dead. Our spirit, our soul is still here, but once it departs from us when we die, we're in some serious trouble if we're not saved. You haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in some serious, scary trouble. People can laugh all they want. They can do whatever they want. They use the Lord's name in vain all they want, but they've got judgment coming, as the Lord says. Pointed on a man wants to die, then the judgment, they answer for absolutely everything they say, do, think, or act. So we pray for these people that they would turn or burn. Let's close. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for this message, Lord. I thank you for your truth in the Bible, that the Lord Jesus speaks on hell. And when he speaks on it more than any other subject, Lord, it just puts the fear in you, Lord, godly fear that we know we need to get right with you. And Lord, we pray for these people out there that do not know the Lord, that need to know the Lord. And Lord, please use each and every one of us, Lord, to start witnessing to some of these people and maybe carry Bible tracts on us, Lord. It's important, even two or three of them, because their souls are very precious. And God, we know that God loves every human soul that he's created, and they're precious to him, Lord. And we know that you don't want any to perish, Lord. You're not willing that any should perish but come to repentance, and we know that, Lord. So let us have a heart for these people and maybe lead them to you while the little time we do have down here. We just do thank you, Lord, for this day. We lift up the food now. We thank you for this fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're clapping because I'm done, huh?
Yeah.
She's clapping because I'm done, huh? Hey. Yeah, stop 7 minutes early. That's
never thought you'd get a stand ovation. See, you get some respect. You want the mic now?
Yeah. You want the mic?